and Senefim Masvid in the program is learning Leviim this year, which is, I think, a very good thing. You know, the fact that I was, like, shocked and surprised to hear it, positively so, obviously reflects, you know, the part of the issue. Normally we don't spend enough time or focus enough energy on the study of Nach in classical yeshiva contexts, and I'm certainly very much in that tradition as well. But the truth is that it's obviously a very crucial and critical component, and I applaud the of Tversky and the program for including it. The question how one should relate to the study of Nach is, I think, a very intriguing question, a very important question. And I think that one could analyze the issue from several points of view. We only have about 40 minutes, so I've just chosen one perspective, and even that one, you'll excuse me if I just speak about the Rashi Prakim, but I think we'll be hopefully more than Vahamev and Yavin, we'll at least be able to develop some idea which I think is important, not only for the topic at hand, albeit not even it fully developed, but as a general question of how one should approach the issue. Much more needs to be said about the topic, especially about how the nuts and bolts, the maisa, what's the best way, you know, for B'nai Yeshiva to study Nach. The topic I do want to address is the status of Nevi'im and Ksuvim in Halacha. And I think that's a topic which is interesting in its own right. If, you know, I wasn't addressing a group that was involved in this Limud, and some of the people here are not involved in the Limud, so that's good too. It would be a topic which would be significant in its own right, and I think important in its own right. But what I'd like to get from it is to try to develop some of the complexities of the issue, which will, I think, highlight how one should be relating to the study of Nach by implication as well. Let me just highlight the problem, you know, in a very simple way. We normally refer to Nevi'im and Ksuvim, or often refer to Nevi'im and Ksuvim, as Divrei Kabbalah. And there's a debate in the Rishonim whether or not it really is Divrei Kabbalah or Divrei Kivalah. And what exactly the term Divrei, either Kabbalah or Kivalah, well, if it's Kivalah, we know what it means, what exactly it means and it refers to. Again, I'm going to speak in more general terms rather than quoting things inside or being very specific in some of the cases, just to get through some of the material. But obviously, if we focus on Divrei Kivalah, which is the view of some Rishonim, so then the emphasis is that Nevi'im and Ksuvim are primarily important as Divrei Musar and Tochacha. And of course, that's a very crucial component in Avodas Hashem. But if you look at Rashi and Chulin and elsewhere, sometimes the word Kabbalah rather than Kivalah, usually we call it Kabbalah rather than Kivalah. And what does Kabbalah mean? So in some cases, some Rishonim, including Rashi, suggests the possibility that this refers to Kabbalah Mimosha Misina. Which, if it doesn't refer to the text itself, and there are some who suggest it does refer to that, too, we'll get that in a second, at least means that the values and the ideals, if you study Nach well, so the lessons that you extract from them are every bit as much Mimosha Misinai as the Pratim and the Klalim that were given at Har Sinai, the things that we know of from Chamisha Chumshei Torah and from Torah Shebaal Peh. There are others, in other words, who, on the other hand, who suggest that Divrei Kabbalah, the idea that, you know, it's something that was mikubal, but isn't, you know, part of, let's say, a more intrinsic part of the canon of Torah, implies something which is of more temporary or contingent status. And this, of course, based on the Gemara in Nedarim, Gemara Nedarim Daf Chaf Beis on the base, which tells us that Ilmalei Cheta Egel Lo Nitna Li Yisrael Ella Chamisha Chumshei Torah via Sefer Yoshua, and Sefer Yoshua's special yichud is Mei Sheerka. The fact that the Sefer Yoshua is so crucial in terms of the issue of Chalukas Eretz Yisrael, so that's why it is the exception. Yomalei Lochati Yisrael Lo Nitna Lahem Ella Chamisha Chumshei Torah VeSefer Yoshua Bilvad Sheerka Shel Eretz Yisrael Hu. My taima, kibarov chachma, rov kas, etc. You have to look at this Gemara very carefully. But on the surface, what the Gemara seems to say is that, in theory, we could have had a Torah without Nevi'im and Ksuvim had it not been for the Cheta Egel. We'll get back to this in just a minute. On the other hand, you have a Gemara that has the opposite implication. That's the Gemara in Brachos. Did we finally get a Brachos? over here? Well, the Gemara in Brachos stuff, Hey Amun Aleph, where the Gemara quotes the Psukim in Shemos, Ewa Mitzvos, etc. And then the Etnal rather the Chos Luchos, Evan, Torah, Mitzvah, Asher Kasafti, Laharosam, Luchos, Elos is the text that we have. Luchos, Elos Eras Adibros. Torah is a Mikra, Mitzvah is a Mishnah, Asher Kasafti, Ela Nevi'im Uksubin, Laharosam, Ze Gemara. Balamed Shekulam Nitnu Lamoshe Misina. So again, if you take this Gemara Kipshuto literally, so it means that not only Torah Shebaksav and Torah Shebalpev, but also Nevi'im and Ksuvim, again according to the Girsa that we have, Asher Kasafti is Larabos Nevi'im and Ksuvim, and Kulam Nitnu Lemoshe Misinai. So how could it be that on the one hand, Ilmoi Lachoti Yisrael Lo Nitnu Lamelech HaMishachum She Torah V'Yoshua Bilvat, and at the same time we say that Kulam Nitnu Lemoshe Misinai. So you have to understand each of these Gemaras and look at the Farshim in each of the Gemaras, but obviously these are important sources for understanding the perspective on Nevi'im and Ksuvim and how it stands vis-a-vis other parts of Torah. On the one hand, Nevi'im and Ksuvim contain halachos, as we know, many critical dinim, you know, kinyan sudar, can't get anything more important than that, you know. Shalaf yishnalav and asal areyu, what would we do without kinyan sudar? And also things like avelus and matters of the Beis HaMikdash, and of course, shtari mecher, right? Pasuk in Yirmiyah, all these are known to us from the Psukim in Nach, not from Chamisha Chumshei Torah. On the other hand, we have a very seemingly ironclad rule, Ein Navi Rashoi Lechadesh Davar Me'ata, which is paired in the Gemara in Tmura with Loba Shamayim Hi, which basically means that Nevi'im cannot be the source of Halacha. And as the Rambam expands on this in Hukas Yisori HaTorah, for a Navi to claim that prophecy is the source of halacha is, forget about what he says and the content of what he says and dismissing it, that already practically makes him chayiv misa, because that violates the integrity of nevuas Moshe Rabbeinu. So this is a very serious problem. How do you balance those two? Another way to highlight it: on the one hand, we say the Gemara in Bava Kama and Chagiga and Nida, divrei Torah midivrei Kabbalah lo yalfinan, which obviously divides Torah Shebichsav of Chamisha Chumshei Torah from the rest of Nevi'im and Ksuvim from an exegetical point of view, in terms of learning, deriving halachos one from the other. And on the other hand, there appear to be some exceptions to that rule. We'll get to it soon. Tosa Rashi and Nida, Chav Gimel, points out. And not only that, but in a parallel way, we seem to have a different perspective in the Gemara Rosh Hashanah, Daf Yutes Amud Aleph, where the Gemara says, Divrei Kabbalah, Kidivrei Torah and Ein Tzrichim Chizuk. Now again, you have to look at each issue and see whether or not, what it refers to, what its scope is, what its implications are. But just on the surface, at least, we took four different issues. We need to sort out, at least, apparently conflicting makoros in a general sense, in terms of whether Nevi'im Uksuvim is considered to be a crucial, integral part of Torah on a par with Chamisha Chumshei Torah practically, or in some cases Torah Shebal Peh, or whether or not it's again more like Divrei Musar, Divrei Kabbalah, which is important but doesn't have the same status in Torah as what we normally call Torah Shebasav and Torah Shebal Peh. On the one hand, Nevi'im and Ksuvim is a fixed text, which isn't just obviously a text, it's a divinely inspired text. Ruach HaKodesh, Nebuah, there might be a difference between Nebuah and Ruach HaKodesh, but let's say the lower level is Ruach HaKodesh. Obviously that establishes the text as being of transcendent significance, not only conveying information, in other words, but the formulations themselves are important. At the same time, we don't usually think that the same level of creative parshanut that we have in Chamisha Chumshei Torah applies to Nevi'im and Ksuvim. It's not Torah Shebal Peh either, because Torah Shebal Peh is the companion perush of Chamisha Chumshei Torah, but since it is a text, so is it more, is it less, is it more in some contexts and less in others, etc. One of the ways to check out or to analyze this topic is to at least initially focus on language, but you have to be very careful doing that. There are all sorts of terms that are used in different contexts that you know, kind of loaded words, you just don't know what they mean, and you have to be careful in different contexts. Mikra, Torah, Torah Shebichsav, do these refer only to Chamisha Chumshei Torah, or do they refer also to Nevi'im and Ksuvim? So again, it's clear in some cases that the context dictates either an expanded or a more constricted view of what Mikra, Torah, Torah Shebichsav means. And then there are other cases where it's more of an open question, and various either Rishonim or Mefarshim, they pretty much could read it either way they want. And it's in those areas in particular where attitudes towards the stature and status of Nevi'im and Ksuvim may often be revealed. When you have like a reflexive, associative kind of response, that says much about the totality of your perspective or your conviction, which is informed by other makoros. So we have to look in this topic at the use of language. On the one hand, we have to be careful. The same term may have different meanings in different contexts. But especially, as I say, when either you're interpreting against the grain, that's the more difficult pshat, or it's kind of in a free association and you have the ability, it says Torah, does it mean to be a mitzvah or not? I'll show you a few of those if we have time going forward. Okay. So these are issues to look at. Another important question, which I've already hinted at, is that sometimes halachic issues are impervious, meaning it's not always clear when you have a machlokas, or rishonim, or mefarshim, whether the machlokas revolves around one issue or another. So if it's the application of Nevi'im and Ksuvim as compared to Torah or Torah Shebaal Peh in a particular area of halacha, it's hard to know whether the debate revolves around the status and stature of Nevi'im and Ksuvim or what the criterion of that particular halacha is. So that too is something that you have to be careful about, which is why in the case of Rishonim and Mefarshim, in some cases, the cumulative impression over 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 different issues may be even more important than any particular issue, because any particular issue may be hard to pin down. A pattern that develops if the Rambam always takes a certain stand on, or practically always takes a stand on a certain issue about the status of Nevi'im and Ksuvim or the Ra'ivim, which I'll try to show if I can, that they think they do, that will be more significant. Okay, let me speak about some of the issues, but again, I'll just run in and out, do a drive-by, as they say, on some of the topics. The first issue, the one I mentioned, the question of initial intrinsic dispensability or indispensability. Was it always in the cards, did it always have to be that Nevi'im and Ksuvim would be part of the canon, part of Kisvei HaKodesh? The Gemara Nedarim Chavesim and Beis. So again, if you look at some of the Mefarshim there, including the Maariz Chayas and some of the Mefarshim on Ein Yaakov in particular, they are really disturbed or influenced by this formulation. The fact that Nevi'im Uksuvim seems primarily to be Divrei Musa V'Tochacha, and that something that Klal Yisrael needed by virtue of or in the aftermath of the Chet HaEgel, but otherwise we could have done without it, at least as a text. When they want to prove the lesser status or inferiority of Nevi'im and Ksuvim vis-a-vis Chamisha Chumshei Torah, this is a Gemara that they invariably invoke. Of course, they have the problem. Maariz Chayas there deals with it. What do you do with the fact that there are halachos in Nevi'im and Ksuvim? We'll get back to that. On the other hand, just to contrast it, the Netziv has a very famous hakdama to the Shiltos called Kitmas HaEmek, in which he says a lot of fascinating things. And he discusses some of these problems, and he detracts from the significance or minimizes the importance of this Gemara in Nedarim. Basically, his argument would seem to be, and this is consistent, I think, with the Netziv's, you know, perspective on Chamisha Chumshei Torah, especially as developed in HaMikdavar, that is, what might have been is not necessarily always an indication of status of what is. Question is, without Chet HaEgel, how different would Klal Yisrael's, not only Klal Yisrael's history been, but the concept of Chetzah Shel Torah. There might have been, this is of course a big discussion in the Farshan about the Luchos Rishonos and Luchos Shnios generally, but how different would the systems of Torah and Halacha been, you know, if certain events hadn't taken place, whether it's Mechiras Yosef or the Egel or, you know, Chet HaMeraglim. It's a fascinating Parshanut question generally. These just exacerbated and made the need for more Musar in a more formalized context. That's one way to look at the Gemara Nedarim, but they weren't going to change what Chetzah Shel Torah would look like. That's, you know, that's, you know, Reishis, the Shvil, HaTorah Shenikra Reishis, that's meta-historical and metaphysical, etc. Or no, really there were alternative ways for the Torah to be given and for Torah itself to be expanded or limited. And things like the Chet HaEgel impacted that. So what the Gemara is telling us is true, but it has nothing to do post Chet HaEgel. It's insignificant to the status of the Bina Ksubin. In similar fashion, we have a similar debate on the opposite end of the historical direction, and that is the future. Right, the debate between the Rambam and the Ravid about the reading of the Yerushalmi in Megillah. Right, the Yerushalmi says that in the future, all of the Nevi'im and Ksuvim, or all the Krios, will be Batel, with the possible exception of Megillas Esther, and they quote the Pasuk, etc. Again, I won't read it because it's a little bit too late. The Rambam and the Ravid debate, whether or not the Yerushalmi should be taken literally. The Ravid says that refers to Kriya B'tzibor, not to the loss of actual status of Kedusha for the Sfarim. There are those who say, that obviously what the Rambam meant as well. It's inconceivable that the Rambam believes that Bimosa Mashiach, that there will be no longer status for Nevi'im and Ksuvim. The Ravid asks the question in a different way. The Ravid says, after all, Ein Sefer Shem Bo Limud. We learn halachos from these Sfarim. How is it conceivable that they will become Batel in the future? But again, part of the question is to understand the change to Bimosa Mashiach. Right? The question is, what is Torah going to be like at the time of Bimosa Mashiach? Here, of course, the Rambam's own Shita makes this question more more acute, because the Rambam's view is that Ein Bein, like Shmuel, that Ein Bein Olam Hazeh Bimosa Mashiach Al-Shibud Malchios Bilvad. In terms of Torah, Chefza Shel Torah, nothing really should change. And as such, if he thinks that Nevi'im and Ksuvim lose their status as Kitzvei HaKodesh, that seems to be a significant comment. If you read the Rambam against the grain, he too only means Kriya V'tzibur, that too needs to be explained, but obviously obviously you're taking a very strong or stronger view. The relationship between the Gemara, reading the Gemara Nedarim and the reading of the Gemara and reading Yerushalmi and Megillah is of course an interesting one. Again, the Yerushalmi, the Netziv in his Hakdama, as he does with the Gemara Nedarim, tries to minimize the future expendability of Nevi'im and Ksuvim, arguing that, anything that we get explicitly from Nevi'im and Ksuvim is already implicit in Chamisha Chumshei Torah. So when we speak about, the future without Kisvei HaKodesh of this sort, it doesn't mean that the Kisvei HaKodesh, again, are any less significant as Manenu because of that. It just means that we'll be, I guess, more highly attuned and able, therefore, to cull or extract these things from Chamisha Chumshei Torah in the future. That's what's going to change, not the idea that primarily we're dealing with Divrei Kivala Musar. That will be less important in an environment which is suffused with Das Hashem, and therefore there's less of an importance to the material. The material is just as important. The mechanism of accessing it will be expanded in the future. That seems to be, doesn't say so many words, but that seems to be the general thrust of the Netziv. This, of course, is important for the issue of, as we mentioned before, Ein Amir Asher L'Chadish Davar Me'ata, but the containing of halachas at the same time. The Ravid's question, Ein Sefer Shem Bo Limud, can be understood in one of two ways. Either like what some quote in the name of Rav Nissim Gaon. Rav Nissim Gaon seemed to say, not so clear how he understands Ein Amir Asher L'Chadish Davar Me'ata, that the halachos that are derived from Nevi'im and Ksuvim, those particular halachos at least, the source really is Nevi'im and Ksuvim. And somehow there are exceptions to the rule of Ein Navi Rashai L'Chadish Davar Miata. And some people take the Ravid that way as well. That's what the Ravid means. More likely, what the Ravid is saying is less ambitious and really more ambitious because of it. Meaning, the real source may be something else. But the fact that the first actual written record of these halachos appears in Sifrei Nevi'im Uksuvim, that makes them, that gives them a certain stature which is immutable. I say that's less and more, meaning not saying necessarily that the Nevi'im or the Kisvei HaKodesh themselves are the makar, are the chadesh, these halachos, but the fact that the Ribbono Shel Olam chose to you know, reveal them, that they surface for the first time in the Vihi Muktzuvim. That in itself is called the first, the fact that they are the first exoteric source to access them, that already gives it a certain stature which is not nitan lebitol. Again, the Radvaz in the famous Tshuva responding to the Ravid says, well, hakol remiza b'raisa. All these dinim, you know, if you really know how to read, I guess like the Gaon of Vilna, if you can read the Chamisha Chumshei Torah, you know, in a different exegetical lens, you know, so hakol remiza b'raisa, so the real makar is there. Meaning, it's fine, the first historical record, but how important really is that? Real question is the halakha itself derived from there? Is that its makar in a real sense? If it's a kol remiza b'raisa, then it's expendable. The Netziv, again in that same larger discussion, just in different places, and you have to put them together, in Kidmasa Emek, basically says that there is a double source to these halakhos. He wants to have his cake and eat it too, but I think he means it again in the, there's an esoteric source, like the Radvaz says, a kol remiza b'raisa, and that, you know, bodes well for the future. But that doesn't mean that, you know, it's just like a practical, this, you know, it happens to be the nihugim of Dinei Doraisa that are remiza, the Chamisha Chumshei Torah, happened to be recorded in the stories of, you know, Shalach Yishnal of Anasun L'Reyehu, or, you know, V'kosav V'sefer, you know, V'chasom. It's more than that. It's, that's the exoteric source, even though the Hakol Remiza of Doraisa is the esoteric source. Then you have to figure out, you know, what is the halachic significance and stature of being an exoteric when there is an esoteric source. And that's a little esoteric for us at the moment. Okay. That's one issue. In parallel fashion, the problem of Ein Davar Rasha V'Kadosh Davar Me'at, as I mentioned, the Rambam was accused by the Ramban of suggesting that anything in the Vihi Muktzuvim is Derabbanan. And part of the Rambam, the Ramban's attack in Shoresh Beis of the Rambam as defense, enthusiastic defense, maybe over-enthusiastic defense of the Bahag, is, you know, to make this assumption in the Rambam and to assume that according to the Rambam anything that's in the Vihi Muktzuvim for the first time is a din Derabbanan. That's obviously one extreme. If that were to be true, maybe if the Ramban's reading of the Rambam were correct, that would significantly downplay the Vihi Muktzuvim. And this is a separate source from the Hilchos Megillah, of course. On the other hand, the Ramban himself seems to take a view almost like the Netziv, or the Netziv almost like the Ramban. There's a line in the Ramban, I'm sorry I can't read it because it's an important line, but the Ramban basically says all the Dinim in the Vihi Muktzuvim are Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, they're Doraisas, independent of the text. However, he does, this is the precedent for the Netziv, seem to say that the fact that they are formulated in and in a certain way in the Vihi Muktzuvim, those Psukim are important, and they are a kind of, you know, makor of parshanut for these dinim as well. Just the fact that they are primarily Torah Shebal Peh removes the problem of Ein Davar Rashai L'Chadish Davar Me'ata. Again, the Megillas Esther and the Maariz Chayis for the Rambam kind of say, you know, all of this as well, except they drop this more nuanced point. For them, it's like the Radvaz, Akol Remiza Baraisa, and this is just the first historical record, and there's no independent significance at all. On the other hand, Rav Nissim Gaon, as I mentioned, seems to say that these halachos themselves, their makor is in the Vihi Muktzuvim, and nonetheless they're Doraisa. Then there's a secondary debate, which things are Doraisa in the Vihi Muktzuvim when you don't know? Things introduced with an azhara, or the word ko'amar, there's like a whole literature to identify what is Doraisa and what is Rabbanan, even if it's only as a record, and that's a topic which is important as well. Divrei Torah midivrei Kabbalah lo yafinu. So on the surface that means Torah lechud and Nach lechud. It doesn't mean that Nach is not a important makar, but at least it can't be equated with Torah. But as I mentioned or alluded earlier, the Tosa Rush in Nida Nachav Gimel Amud Aleph says that's true in a qualified way, where there's another makar in Torah. If you can, if you have the same word, you want to establish a hekesh or whatever, it's a reshava, and there's, you know, a word here and a word somewhere else in Chamisha Chumshei Torah and a word in Nevi'im and Ksuvim, so then the principle of Divrei Torah and Divrei Kabbalah Le'yafinan applies. But if the only other makar is in Nach and not in Chamisha Chumshei Torah, Tosa Rosh says, then this principle is not true. That's a very big chiddush. I don't think it's agreed upon by most Rishonim, but what it establishes that in principle, maybe on the next level, the words of Nevi'im and Ksuvim can be a source for parshanut, halachic parshanut at that. On the other hand, the more standard view is to just focus on the language, on the words of the Gemara in Bava Kamma, and that is, pergili milsa, you know, it works, but nothing else. Not really parshanut, just defining and identifying. But that too is not a small matter. The fact that Nevi'im and Ksuvim, understandably so, because they're written b'nebuah b'ruach ha'kodesh, they have the Ribono Sholem's imprimatur, that they can define things and identify things for us, that surely is of enormous significance as well. On the other hand, Tosas in Kiddushin at one point suggests that you have to be careful even on the Gili Milsa level. Lashon HaTorah Lachud, Lashon Nach Lachud, Tosas Lamed Zayin Amid Aleph. The more you build that up, that even on a Gili Milsa level, the Lashonos, the identifications, the definitions are different. That would be an important position in a minimizing way. Divrei Torah ke Divrei Kabbalah, Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. So the Gemara says it with regard to Chizuk and the question of, you know, Megillas Tainis. If you have a particular day of Megillas Tainis, you have to worry about the day before, the day after. You have to, like, have a support system for this halacha. There the Gemara says, Divrei Sofer require Chizuk, Divrei Torah don't require Chizuk. Then the Gemara wasn't so sure, what about things to the Nevi'im and Ksuvim? And the Gemara concludes, Divrei Kabbalah like Divrei Torah don't require Chizuk. So one way to look at it, Rabbeinu Chananel there, this simply means that there is support in a text which we consider to be holy and divine, and therefore, lemaisa, you don't need anything more. The other possibility, others seem to indicate this, is that this is more than that. It's, what we're really saying is that Divrei Kabbalah, even if it's a drabbanon of Divrei Kabbalah, that gives it a certain stature halachically. Which brings us to the next point. Is there a certain status that is akin to a daraisa for Divrei Kabbalah more than a regular Divrei Sofrei? So this is an issue that is discussed in terms of Safek L'chumra. Is it possible that Divrei Kabbalah, Safek L'chumra, even the regular Drabbanon, Safek L'chumra? Obviously it has to be analyzed against the backdrop of the drop of whether Safek L'chula and L'chumra itself is a din daraisa, Shit Saramba that it's a din Drabbanon, but especially if that is a din daraisa and you apply it not only to Daraisas, but to Divrei Kabbalah, and obviously the halachic stature of Nevi'im and Ksuvim is upgraded. This is an issue that the Prima Gadim discusses in Siman Reish Yud Tes and the Nota Bihuda. I just wrote down a few makaros in Siman Kuf Mem Vav, Hamek Sheila, and Vayechit. Many, many, this is like a very big topic. Obviously, Megillah is one of the main issues. Can a Durabanan be motzi a Divrei Kabbalah? Can a Daraisa be motzi? Can a Divrei Kabbalah be motzi a Daraisa? Another topic that Prima Gadim and others discuss. What about the Gemara in Brachos? I mentioned before that the Gemara in Brachos seems to say that Nevi'im and Ksuvim are Misina. So there are several questions here. Again, my time is already moving to the end. I at least want to mention some of the categories, so I won't go into all of it. Number one, what is the right Girsa? What is this derived from? From the word Torah, from the word Asher Kasavti. Second question is, how literally do we take the Midivrei Hakol Nitna Misinai? And thirdly, the order in the Gemara. The Gemara really has first Torah Shebasav, Torah Shebalpeh, and only then Nevi'im and Ksuvim, where we might have thought that it would be Torah Shebatzav, and then Nach, and then Torah Shebalpeh. So let me just mention very quickly. Girsos, the Rambam in his Hagdama to Yana Chazaka, seems to have a whole different limud. There's a debate, Avodas HaMelech understands that it's, he had a different girsa on this Gemara in Brachos. Others understand that he just wasn't quoting this Gemara in Brachos. But there are also different girsos within the Gemara. As far as how literal it is, so the Ramban, when he wants to defend the Bahag on Mikra Megillah and Neiros Kanika, etc., quotes this Gemara in Brachos, understanding that it means literally. The Orchas Chaim also, in Hilchos Tamat Torah, speaks about Moshe Rabbeinu writing the 24 Sifrei Tanakh. The Tziv in Kidmas HaEmek asks, how is it possible that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote all of these? And the Gemara Nedarim is telling us that Al Malei Lachot Yisrael, they wouldn't have existed. Moshe Rabbeinu wrote them. And not only that, but wouldn't this be a problem, as Megillas Esther asks, of Kovesh Nevuaso, right? If Moshe Rabbeinu wrote these books and they weren't going to be revealed to Kal Yisrael. So that's one perspective, a perspective based on the literal understanding that the Nevi'im and Ksuvim are of Sinaitic origin. The Ramban himself, however, you know, at different points in Shorash Beis, or Shorash Aleph actually, the first one, Shorash Aleph, has different formulations about this. Ramban considers the possibility that all it means is that Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, saw into the future. Not that he saw what Klal Yisrael would be given and what they would be learning in the future. That future included Chayta Egel. Doesn't mean that Moshe Rabbeinu or that it's sourced from Sinai in the same way as Chamisha Chumshei Torah and Torah Shebaal Peh. It just means that Moshe Rabbeinu already had an awareness of all of this. Or another possibility, this is something that the Kenneth Sofrim suggests, and that is what we really mean is that the source of authority of Nevi'im and Ksuvim comes from Sinai, meaning Lo Sasur. Not that actually the material, the content, the Cheftza, comes from Sinai. Okay, so there are, again, different perspectives on how to read this Gemara. In terms of the order, there are those who downplay it and say, oh, that's the Derech HaLimud. You know, you read Torah Shebichsav, and in order to know what it means, or to get the most out of it, you have to know Mishnah, namely Torah Shebaal Peh. However, there are some, the Avos Esam and the Ein Yaakov, but even more importantly, implicitly, the Moshe V'Zkenim Al HaTorah, who make fuss about the order. Moshe V'Zkenim discusses the question of putting Nevi'im and Ksuvim on top of a Mishnah or Gemara, or vice versa, and derives from the order of this Gemara that Torah Shebaal Peh, even the text of Torah Shebaal Peh, has greater stature than that of Nevi'im and Ksuvim. There's a Tshuva of the Rimigash, which I don't have time to read right now, on this matter as well, where you might seem to disagree. The same issue is reflected in another question, and that is in the selling of one Chefza Shel Kedusha for another. The Mishnah, beginning of Megillah, where there's a whole hierarchy, Malam Bakodesh Shalom Maridin. So if you look at that Mishnah, again, my time is running out, so I hate to spend time quoting, but look at the Mishnah there on Chavad. So there's a hierarchy which includes Mitpachas Sefer Torah, and then it says Chumashim and Sfarim. We don't know what Sfarim exactly means. There are different Girsos. So, number one, is that sugya relevant to us? So there are those, the Aruch HaShulchan among them, who say the whole sugya Megillah is about the Kedusha of the Cheftza as a Cheftza Shel Kedusha, meaning the Gvilin of the Sefer Torah. That's a whole different matter. Not the Kedusha of the content, in other words. On the other hand, it doesn't seem that so according to the Rishonim, and you have different Girsos, so different of the order and of the definition of Sfarim. The Me'iri al-Atar says Sfarim means Nevi'im, Ksuvim, and Mishnah, putting them on the same level. You can buy one for the other. But the Shulchan Aruch, the Simen Kufnun Gimel, Orachaim, which I was going to read because its language is very important, actually says that Sfarim mean Chumash and Nach. And the implication is that Torah Shebaal Peh would be one lower. So either we equate Nach with Mishnah or we equate Nach with Chumash. Chumash means separate Svarim, not Sefer Torah. The Rambam completely omits Nevi'im and Ksuvim. He has Mitpachos and Chumashim. He doesn't have even Mitpachos, in other words, are on a higher level, apparently, than either Mishnah or Nevi'im and Ksuvim. Especially if you're relating to the Kedushas HaChefza, not the Tochen. So the fact that Nevi'im and Ksuvim would be less than Mitpachos Sefer Torah might be a significant point. Again, I can't develop it now. Perek Yidal Pilchos Tefila Halacha Yidal. In the Shulchan Aruch, the Magen Avraham zeroes in on this problem, commenting on the words of the Shulchan Aruch, and he says, I don't understand. Number one, it seems from here that you would say that you could put Mishnayos on top of Nach, and can you really do that? Moreover, it seems like Nach is one category. Don't we accept the view of most Rishonim, which is that Nevi'im are written B'Nevuah, Ksuvim B'Ruach HaKodesh, and that's also a lower level. That originally comes, as far as I know, from a the Rimigash, but picked up by Iran, etc. So how come that's not reflected? Why don't you say you can't sell Nevi'im for Ksuvim, only Ksuvim for Nevi'im? And he's very, very unhappy with the whole thing. The Chassam Sofer has a comment on that in the Shulchan Aruch, where he says there are different issues here. One issue has to do with Chefza Shel Torah. He says there everything is the same. It doesn't matter whether you're reading Chamisha Chumshei Torah, or Nevi'im Ksuvim, or Nach, or Sam Achron, or say for Musar, Kol HaTorah Achasi, very beautiful language of the Tzam Sofer. However, if you're talking about the Kedushas HaKriya, he says there we have distinctions, and if you're talking about the Kedushas HaGvilin, meaning the Chepta as a Chepta Shol Kedusha, we have distinctions. And based on that, he tries to work out all the details. But again, this is a very important issue. I have another 5 minutes. I'll just mention things and then I'll get there. There's another question. Dvarim Shebechsav Iyata Rashai La'omer Nalpeh. Does that apply to the Diyam Uksuvim? The Machlokas on Rishonim. Tosis in the beginning of the second parak of Temura suggests, says, how come we're always saying Tehillim and these things by heart? We shouldn't be doing that. So one of the answers he gives is to be Mechalik between Chamisha Chumshei Torah and the Diyam Uksuvim. The Shita Mekubetza says for historical reasons. The Pasuk, which is the Makar, was written before Nevi'im Uksuvim, it doesn't include them. Rav Elbel in his notes on Shiurim and Temura apparently accepted that idea. However, one could say that the issue is more fundamental, and then in two ways. Chavis Yair suggests that it's a technical but a halachic issue. Why are we so makbid about Dvarim Shebechsav, you know, Dafka Bechsav? Because of the Chaseros, Ritva says in Gittin, Chaseros and Yaseros, the text itself. But in Nevi'im Uksuvim, if it isn't a halachic makar, it's more Direi Kabbalah or values, so the Chaseros and Yaseros don't matter. And for Lamaisa, we don't care. But the Aruch HaShulchan, based on Tosis and Yoma, Daf Ayin Omed Aleph, suggests that no, this really is a question of the status of a certain level of Torah. The Ikar HaKpeda B'Torah Shehi Ikar HaLimud, meaning the Limud of Torah, as opposed to Nevi'im Uksuvim, is the reason for this discrepancy. This question, what is included in Torah, also applies to three other topics. One is, I'll just mention them, very important. One is the minimum you have to teach your child. So again, Kedushin Daf Lamed Amud Aleph. Gemara says Torah. Rashi says Torah, v'lo Nevi'im Uksuvim. Maybe it's connected to the Rashi in Brachos, you know, minu b'nechem na'higayon, not to learn Nevi'im and Uksuvim. Obviously, what that means is, you know, without the right framework and context, etc. The Rambam, on the other hand, says Torah Shebechsav. There's a big debate among the Mefarshim whether he also means Nevi'im and Ksuvim. That seems to be the case, especially when you compare the Rambam's formulation about Shlish B'Mikra, Shlish B'Mishnah. That certainly includes Nevi'im and Ksuvim. He also links it to the question of paying for education, which also seems to be Nevi'im and Ksuvim together with Torah. This is actually, of the topics that we've mentioned, the single one where the Rambam takes the higher view, more ambitious view of Nevi'im and Ksuvim. On the other hand, the issue comes up also in Birchas HaTorah. Point Rav Huna says you don't only make a bracha on Mikra and not on anything else. Does Mikra include Nach, or does it also only include Torah? Or according to the Baal Amar, that the three Birchas HaTorah are separated for Mikra, Mishnah, Talmud, what is included in the Mikra bracha? Does it mean everything, anything, any Torah, or does it really mean just Mikra, just Mishnah, just Talmud? And this too is a discussion, the Mishkanos Yaakov and others discuss this problem. There's another debate between the Rambam and the Ravid, Perek Bei, Sukkos Shavuos, Hanodah Batorah. The Rambam says Hanodah Batorah refers to Torah Shebechsav Chamisha Chumshei Torah. But if ain't daito alagvilin alamasha kasubo, that's considered a proper shmua, but not kisvei hakodesh, not Nevi'im and Ksuvim. And the Ravid has a very long hasaga where he says, what are you talking about? If that's the case, then you know, we wouldn't be careful not to put other svarim on top of Nevi'im and Ksuvim and matzilin also b'fnei adleika, and you know, it's metaminis hayadayim. He throws in many, many issues, which makes it clear that the Ravid's perspective is that the Nevi'im and Ksuvim are practically, if not actually, on the same level as Chamisha Chumshei Torah. The Rambam, I think it's a little difficult to explain, but clearly I think relates to the fact here, L'shitaso, in a number of places, that Nevi'im and Ksuvim, as important as they are, aren't on the level of Mikra. They're more Divrei Musar, and don't have the same status, at least in terms of Halacha, of Hefta Shel Torah. So basically what I've, just give me 30 more seconds, what I've tried to throw out here, there's a bunch of contexts which can be used to, identify different perspectives on the status of Nevi'im and Ksuvim vis-a-vis Torah Shel Ba'al Peh and Torah Shel Bechsav, and it is very complicated, and you have to try to pin it down. In particular, the Rambam and the Ravid mostly emerge on opposite sides about the status of Nevi'im and Ksuvim. However, I think it's very telling that Dafka, in the case of Limud HaTorah to a child, the Rambam is the one, you know, who is taking the view that it includes all of Nevi'im and Ksuvim. And having said that, if we step back and we look at, you know, where we make the distinctions and where we don't, Again, Nevi'im and Ksuvim, in most issues, is treated as a quasi-Torah Shebetzav. I think the reason for that is exactly the distinctions that we've been making. When it comes to matters of halacha, hardcore halacha, obviously, Nevi'im and Ksuvim don't have anywhere near the status of Torah Shebetzav, Chamish Shulchan Shel Torah, and not even that of Torah Shebaal Peh. However, what Nevi'im and Ksuvim are crucial for is the application to real life of the values of Torah that are derived from Chamisha Chumshei Torah and from Torah Shebaal Peh and from Halacha. That interface between real life, the models of the Avos and the Imahos and the Shoftim and the Nevi'im, how Klal Yisrael from the earliest time, you know, struggled, the mistakes they made, the triumphs that were theirs, the great potential that they had, the squandering of that whole story, both in terms of its hashgacha, in terms of what it reveals about the character of Am Yisrael, as well as the sterling personalities, you know, the very inspiring personalities that we encounter in Tanakh, all of these things are, of course, crucial to our worldview. So that when it comes to matters of halachic context and future and the past and what might have been and what could be, maybe we could see Nevi'im and Ksuvim in a different way. However, when it comes to Limud HaTorah, which of course is what we're all talking about here anyway, when it comes to that, the Rambam says Nevi'im and Ksuvim are really part of the organic minimum as well. Because without that, we really are left with, you know, an abstract kind of blueprint, which is very edifying, but you know, without the actual historical and inspirational and normative guidelines of how to implement them, so we're lacking greatly in our understanding of the greatness of Torah and in our ability to implement it. And therefore, even the Rambam, who was very structured and very organized and understood that there's a hierarchy, but when it comes to Limud HaTorah, even Schar for Limud HaTorah, which the Rambam integrates into that halacha, when it comes to that issue, the Rambam felt that Nevi'im and Ksuvim is part of the minimum, that's part of a basic Jewish education. So I want to wish you all good luck in the Limud, and Shabbat Torah.
Thank you.